Let's pray. Father, you are the God of peace. You are a God of peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, I know that many of us face circumstances that are beyond understanding, and we need a peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, thank you that you sent your Son into the world, the Prince of Peace. Help us to live for you. Help us to serve you. And I ask that you would prepare our hearts during this Advent season, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have Bibles with you, turn to James chapter 5, and you may think, well, that's not a very Christmassy passage. But it is, and we're gonna get to why that is. Advent is an interesting season. I always remember growing up, and you know, Advent comes along, and they talk about Advent, and you just go, well, what's Advent? It has something to do with Jesus being born. It's an interesting term. The word Advent, it comes from Latin Adventus, which means coming. So Jesus is coming. Well, that's simple enough, right? But what is interesting about this word is, well, the Bible wasn't written in Latin. The Bible was written in Greek. And so the Greek counterpart to the Latin term Adventus is parousia. Parousia, and it, which means coming. But here's the interesting thing. The word parousia is used far more often to refer to Jesus' second coming than his first. See, the Bible is clear. Jesus is coming again. Right? Christmas was not a one-off, right? Jesus is coming back. He's going to set all wrongs to right. He is going to bring all of us into eternity with him. Jesus is coming back. And so, in many ways, Jesus' first advent is similar to his second advent. Of course, the circumstances are different. Jesus will not come as a baby born into a stable in Jerusalem. He is going to come as king, riding on a horse, and it's going to be pretty spectacular. But we live in between these two advents, right? We live in between the tension of these two advents, where we know that Jesus has died for us, we are saved from our sin, and we can live for him, but we still struggle with sin. We still have difficulties in our lives, and we still have to deal with death and loss and pain, many of the things Paul Michael just shared about in his Advent reading. So we live in between these two advents. But how we wait for Jesus' second coming informs how we can wait for Jesus now at Christmas. You know, this is a time of preparation. We want to prepare our hearts. As the song says, Christmas song, let every heart prepare him room. We want to prepare our hearts, make room in our hearts for Jesus. Actually, not even make room. Let's completely clear out our hearts of all of the junk and let Jesus have it all. But how do we do that? Well, I would suggest to you that how we prepare our hearts for Christmas is the same way that we prepare our hearts for Jesus' second coming. How we wait for Jesus this Christmas is the same way we wait for Jesus to come back. And so for these next couple of Sundays, our time in God's Word is going to focus on James 5, which is all about Jesus' second advent. It's all about how we can prepare our hearts for Jesus coming. And in preparing our hearts for Jesus' second coming, we will, by default, prepare our hearts for Jesus' first. Make sense? Okay, haven't completely confused you here? So follow along as I read James 5, beginning in verse 7. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This is God's word. Patience. That's not something I had a whole lot of growing up around Christmas time. I just didn't. I had those Advent calendars. I'm actually thankful Mr. French made some Advent calendars for our kids, which were infinitely more creative than the Advent calendars I had growing up. But I had a couple different Advent calendars. The ones I remember the most were the ones they had little doors. You could open, they're like cardboard, and you could open, and there's a little scripture. But that didn't really put me in the Christmas spirit. It really didn't. I mean, I read the scriptures and yeah, okay, great. But the problem was, is that when you open the first door, what my mind goes to is, what, there's 23 more of these? And you realize how far away you are from Christmas. Now, for maybe us, for those who are growing up, December goes a little faster. But for a kid, you've opened one door and you got this whole thing and you have to wait until the next day. Right? Advent calendars are not something that you can work ahead on, right? I would love to work ahead. I would love to get there faster. I would love to get to Christmas morning faster so I can open my presents. But can't do that. Gotta wait. And I know, even as a kid, you hear good things come to those who wait. That didn't make a whole lot of sense to me growing up. Why? Why? I mean, I could have a good thing now. Why wait? Like, if I could have it now, why wait? Yeah, that makes no sense. But the Lord tells us to wait. The Lord tells us to wait patiently until He comes. And one of the ways that we can prepare our hearts this Christmas is to patiently persevere. And if you're taking notes for this message, you can write that down and spend some time reflecting on that this week. One of the ways that we can wait for Jesus this Christmas and prepare our hearts for Christmas is to patiently persevere. Patiently persevere. And that's hard for us, isn't it? I mean, we might not be kids waiting for toys under the tree, or maybe we are, but we live in this instant gratification world, don't we? And just to give you one piece of evidence that we live in an instant gratification world, you know, wireless technology is now getting into 5G, right? Okay? We were in 4G, you know, you see the LTE on your phone and you're like, okay, that's what it should be. But when my phone says 3G, I start feeling discontent. Right? That's not good enough, right? It's got to be faster. This should be better than this. I need to have faster internet. Like 3G is now, I mean, what, just a few years ago, right? 3G was, whoa. I mean, that was something, right? That was gift from God. But now 3G is like, away from me, Satan. It's just, 3G is unacceptable. Instant gratification. And we can laugh about all of that, but then when we go through difficult times, we want the difficult times to resolve quickly, don't we? We want it to get over as fast as possible. And Lord, you know, often our prayer is, Lord, just get me through this so I can move on, so I can get to the good stuff. What our scripture shows us this morning, though, is that blessing, the peace that we're looking for, it doesn't come through instant gratification. It doesn't come through a quick fix. It comes through patient perseverance. Good things really do come to those who wait. That is a biblical truth. And so as we prepare our hearts for this Christmas, as we get ready to celebrate Jesus, we need to examine what this patient perseverance is so we can understand the blessings that come from it. So what does patient perseverance look like? Well, James talks about a couple of different analogies. He says in verse 7, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for autumn and spring rains." So obviously, if you're a farmer, you have to wait. There's no instant farming, right? I mean, maybe in the future there will be, but you know, you have to wait. You have to wait for the season. You have to wait for the harvest. That hasn't changed in thousands and thousands of years. Right? So there is a waiting process in life. And so James says, just like the farmer, you need to do the same thing. You too, verse 8, be patient and stand firm. Now, that term stand firm is an interesting one, and it really explains to us what patient perseverance looks like. And the word literally in the original language is strengthen your heart. Some translations will say establish your heart. Be patient and establish your heart. And so the idea is that you fix your heart, that all of your heart is absolutely fixed. It is settled. It is pointing towards Jesus. It is committed to Jesus. And by saying our heart, I'm not talking about the squishy, emotional, feely things, okay? In the ancient world, the heart was not just our feelings and our emotions. It was the human control center. The heart was everything. Your heart, your feelings, your emotions, your will, your intellect, your decision-making, your thought processes, how you go about stuff, your plans, all of that was wrapped into the ancient concept of the heart. And so when it's saying, establish your heart, stand firm, it's saying, put all of you, your entire being, have it fixed, focused on Jesus. Now, we go through difficult times. We go through difficult seasons. We get blown around. It's windy. We had a storm last week. There were a couple times where the wind picked up quite a bit. And this is not to deny that those winds don't come about. But think about a flagpole. You know, sometimes a flag is just getting whipped around and beaten around by the winds. And our lives sometimes do. But a flagpole is firmly fixed, isn't it? It is fixed in concrete. It's not going anywhere. I mean, unless lightning strikes it or you saw it off, but that pole is not going anywhere. And that's the idea of strengthen your heart, establish your heart, stand firm. Imagine yourself spiritually setting your heart and your whole being towards Jesus, looking at Jesus, and then pouring concrete over your soul. I know that's a kind of a weird thing because we think of concrete as a not very spiritually good thing. But in this situation, it is. Because we're saying, no matter what, I'm with Jesus. No matter what happens today, I'm with Jesus. I'm with Jesus. And that takes patient perseverance. That is what it is. That every day, we say, no matter what is going to happen today, I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to persevere. And so it's a choice, isn't it? It's a daily, daily choice. Because so many things come up during our day that distract us, right? James hints at one of them. He says in verse 9, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. And you may say, well, what does grumbling have to do with patient perseverance? Well, grumbling, if we have an issue with a brother or sister in Christ, it distracts us away from being rooted and fixed on Jesus, doesn't it? And it causes us as a church body to be distracted away from being rooted and fixed on Jesus, especially during this Christmas season. But there's any other number of things that distract us away, right? Especially at Christmas. What, parties, presents, kids, what the kids want in terms of parties and presents. Parents, maybe the Christmas lists have already started around your house. Shopping, jobs, worrying about money. We still have our hobbies, our kids. You know, all of these things go on. Life goes on. But then there's all of the worries. And I think worries really start distracting us around Christmas time because we start looking at everyone else's Facebook and social media feeds and they put all of these wonderful things about how wonderful their lives are. Maybe you noticed this last Thanksgiving, this past week, and everyone's posting all of these perfect pictures of these beautiful families, and you would think to look at Facebook, like, everyone has a perfect family except me. And then we start worrying about our families, and we start worrying about our futures, and we start worrying about our pasts and our present. There's so many distractions, aren't there? So many things that take our heart towards something else and let our heart get established in something else. So every day we have to plant ourselves and say, I'm going to establish my heart. I'm going to strengthen my heart. I am going to choose Jesus. I am going to choose Jesus today. And we see this kind of a choice even in the Old Testament. This is before Jesus. But Joshua, at the end of the conquest of the Promised Land, Joshua says this to all of the Israelites who had to choose between following the one true God and all of these other pagan gods that were distracting them away. And Joshua says this in Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. He might as well have said, choose for this day who you are going to establish your heart to. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See, when we establish our hearts every single day, day after day, that is what patient perseverance becomes. The same thing, where we're pointing in the same direction, and that is our life, day in and day out, over and over and over and over. And Eugene Peterson describes this in the title of his book on discipleship called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. I love that title. I know I've shared it before, but I absolutely love that title. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Day after day, we're choosing Jesus, we're following Jesus, we're giving our lives to Jesus, we're surrendering our lives to Jesus. That's what patient perseverance looks like. And especially this Christmas, where there's going to be so many distractions, if there's not already, establishing our hearts, being patient, and saying, I'm with Jesus. That's a beautiful way to prepare our hearts this Christmas, isn't it? But the question naturally comes up, why? Why should we? What's in it for me? Right? Maybe you're not that callous, but there's a question of benefit. What is the benefit for me in this? Why should I patiently persevere? Why shouldn't I just live it up now? Right? There's lots of hobbies, there's lots of things that I can do this Christmas. I can just go enjoy life. I can get carried away by all of the fun at Christmas, and I can just live it up now. Why shouldn't I just live it up now? Why patiently persevere with Jesus? Well, if there's no eternity, then there's no reason to persevere. But the Bible is clear. Jesus is coming back. Verse 8, the Lord's coming is near. It's coming. Jesus is coming. And so, therefore, there is a huge reason and reward and blessing for persevering. And we see that there is great blessing in patient perseverance. It's interesting. In this passage, James uses Job as an example of the reward that comes about at the end of patient perseverance. Which is interesting because if you read the book of Job, Job does not, he doesn't curse God, he doesn't sin, but he really kind of complains a lot, doesn't he? He's kind of a whiner. He's not an example of patient perseverance. And so you have to say, well, Job's perseverance, what? Well, the best way that we can understand this is that, like many stories, a lot of stories get, they become folk versions of a story, right? And a lot of times the folk version of the story changes some details, right? And so when James is talking about Job here, he's not just talking about the biblical text of Job. He's probably more referring to what they had heard about Job. The folk story, not the actual biblical text. And in the folk story, Job's the hero. Job's the hero. He persevered. But just as in the biblical story, the Lord finally brings about blessing. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. But here's the interesting thing. Where does the blessing come? It comes at the end of perseverance. You see that? He uses another example of prophets. And then in verse 11, James says, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. Not we count as blessed those who will persevere or who are persevering, but we count as blessed those who have persevered. So the blessing is found on the far side of perseverance, not on the near side. Joy is found on the far side of perseverance, not on the near side. Good things come to those who wait. It really is actually true. Think about it this way. We have the Rock and Roll Marathon, you know, every year here, right? And for most San Diegans, it's simply a time to know what roads to avoid because, you know, freeways get clogged up and all of this. When we were at our previous church, the church was right along, or right maybe a block from the marathon site. So they had to send out an email every week about, or the week before, saying, don't take this route to get to church, otherwise you're not going to make it. You know, that type of a thing. But think about people who are marathon runners. Maybe some of you here are marathon runners. Do you run to get a cup of water during the race? No, that's not why you run a marathon. I mean, if that's why you run a marathon, you can get a cup of water a lot of different ways, right? Yeah, you would think, okay, but marathon runners do not run to get a cup of water. Why? They run to get the prize at the end. They run to finish. For those who are actually really competitive, they're running to win. And that's the same for us. Blessing comes at the end of perseverance, not at the beginning and not even at the middle. And you may say, well, I don't want to wait around for all of that. I got a lot of things now that I can just go into. You know, I got my life, I got my hobbies, I got all of these things. I want those more than I want the blessing of following Jesus my whole life. But what we need to understand is that God's blessings are infinitely greater than any blessing that we can grab onto in this world. See, we think that, and understandably, it's hard to wrap our heads around some concept of eternal blessing, isn't it? Because we're not experiencing it now, or we're only partially experiencing it. It's hard to wrap our heads around this, but the Bible is clear that the blessing for persevering, the blessing for patiently persevering with Jesus through life is infinitely greater. We have the blessing of knowing that our sins are forgiven when we believe in Jesus, and we have the blessing of eternal life. And that is far greater than any joy or blessing that we can have right now. And C.S. Lewis expounds on this, and this is probably one of my favorite thoughts that he has, and that's saying something because I love C.S. Lewis, as you know. C.S. Lewis says this about our desires and the pleasures that we seek after in this world. He says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Are you far too easily pleased this Christmas? Are we seeking after something that is essentially a mud pie in a slum? Or are we desiring and running this race for the holiday at the sea? Patient perseverance has an amazing, amazing reward at the end of it. Ultimately, we get Jesus. You know, I recently heard a story of two MIT students. I actually just heard it on the radio this morning, and then I was looking at it online. Two MIT students who, I think it was two Saturdays ago, set a new Guinness World Record. And this was for the longest thrown cooked hot dog. Serious world records, right? And they had to put a lot of time and energy and planning into this. They really did. They had to make sure that the hot dog was within the regulation standards set by the Guinness Book of World Records for this category. And yes, there is a category in the Guinness Book of World Records for longest thrown cooked hot dog. It has to be between 5.5 and 7 inches. Previous record holders have been NFL quarterbacks and stuff like that. Then these MIT students had to study and figure out, well, what is going to be the best size hot dog? And they settled on Costco jumbo hot dogs. But one of the students is in the store measuring hot dogs. I mean, she says, I must have looked really, really weird doing all of this. But she had to do a lot of research. And then, you know, a lot of practice, a lot of trial and error. I mean, it took a lot of time to do this. They studied different ways of cooking to see if different cooking techniques would, because it has to be cooked, if that would lead to farther throws. So they grilled it, they boiled it, they steamed it. But they put a lot of time and a lot of effort into this. They had a lot of patient perseverance to earn this, let's just be brutally honest, meaningless Guinness Book of World Records. So if they're willing to put all of that time for that kind of a blessing, how much more should we patiently persevere for the blessing of Jesus? Right? The blessing that is talked about here, we count as blessed those who have persevered. It's a lot better than being in the Guinness Book of World Records for throwing a cooked hot dog. And what they did was impressive. I mean, they threw a cooked hot dog about 120 feet. I mean, that's impressive. One of them was a softball player, and they figured out, you know, it's impressive, but it's nothing compared to the blessing of Jesus. Patient perseverance will help us prepare our hearts for this Christmas. And so as we get ready to come to this communion table, three simple but deep questions for us this morning. Number one, is your heart established for Jesus? Is your heart established for Jesus? Are you fixed? Have you said, I'm with Jesus today and every day? I'm with Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to pursue Jesus over everyone and everything else. Have you done that? Have you done that? And is there a part of your heart that is not established for Jesus? Another way to say is, have you surrendered your life to Him? I mean, this Christmas is a great time to say, Jesus, I'm all in. Here is my heart. All of my heart. Have all of me. And if you have not done that, please take this Christmas to really know Jesus and give your life to Him. See, establishing your heart for Jesus is far more than just saying, well, I go to church. Yeah, a lot of people go to church, and their heart is somewhere completely different. We can be in this building, and our hearts can be somewhere totally a million miles from here. Is your heart established for Jesus? That's the first question. Here's the second question. What are you focusing on this Christmas that is distracting you away from Jesus? What are you focusing on this Christmas that is distracting you away from Jesus? Is it some interpersonal conflict? Are you looking for something material instead of something with Jesus? Are you focusing on yourself instead of others? I mean, we've already established there's so many things that distract us. What is distracting you this Christmas? And then finally, are you looking for immediate blessings or eternal blessings this Christmas? Are you looking for immediate blessings or eternal blessings this Christmas? Are you looking for instant gratification or long-term blessings? As we have seen this morning, the long-term blessings are infinitely better. Amen? Amen? And even though the wait is hard, let me just close with this. Even though the wait is hard, it is absolutely worth it. It was hard for me waiting as a kid for Christmas. But I can't ever recall happily building a Lego set on Christmas Day and saying, yeah, this wasn't worth it. I don't want the Lego set anymore. There's a picture of me when I was a real little kid, and I was wearing. We were over at my grandparents. We used to go over to my grandparents. My grandparents would come over to our house on Christmas morning. We would open presents, and then we would go over to my grandparents' house for dinner that night. And there's a picture of me. I was wearing a Joe Montana t-shirt. Go Niners. And they're playing Baltimore right now. But my mind is hard. I'm here. I'm here. My phone is not even on me, right? I'm not even tempted to look at that. But I'm wearing my Joe Montana shirt. There's a picture. And at dinner that night at my grandparents', I am happily holding a Lego airplane that I had gotten that morning and that I had built that afternoon. And I was not disappointed that I had to wait for it. And I cannot think of anything in my life, any really good thing that I've had to wait for, where I said, once it finally came about, where I said, yeah, no, not worth it. Waiting for Jesus, patiently persevering with Jesus and for Jesus, is absolutely worth it this Christmas. And so let's patiently persevere. Every day, let's choose Jesus. And on the far side of patient perseverance, that's where we're going to find our real blessing this Christmas. That's where we're going to find our true gift this Christmas. Let's pray. Father, you are an amazing God. And your word says that you give good gifts to your children. And we know that this is true because you have already given us the greatest gift, which is the gift of your Son. Your word says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Father, that is the greatest Christmas gift that we could possibly have this Christmas season. Father, help us to pursue you. Help us to follow you. Help us to establish our hearts, to fix ourselves firmly in following Jesus every single day, this Christmas season and for the rest of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts with eager expectation of the blessing and joy it is of knowing you. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning whose heart is not established, either who does not know Jesus, who has not surrendered their life to Jesus. I pray they would use this morning to say, yes, Jesus, I'm all in. If that describes you, I would ask that you come talk with me after the service. I would love to talk with you and pray with you. But Lord, all of us are facing distractions. All of us are facing things that are pulling us away. So, Father, help us to firmly establish our hearts and wait patiently for you and persevere with you every single day. So, Lord, help us to clear out our hearts and to be filled by you as we come to this communion table now. In Jesus' name, amen.